Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. The
Score! This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
Five on Leila Rahimi and Marshall Harris with Mark Grody, bringing you five topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Number one.
You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips, and it is indeed a victory Monday, but we have to ask this question. How much of a step back did the Bears offense take against the Raiders?
It took a medium step backwards, for sure, for the Bears in this game. They did not have the same poise and presence of mind in the first half of this game as they did in the Dallas game, the 31-14 win where Williams had four touchdowns and zero interceptions. And more importantly, he got the ball authoritatively to eight different wide receivers. I also thought that that game was obviously a better called game by Ben Johnson, more successful than a couple of the trick plays that he tried in this game. So I think it all came together, unfortunately, for a step back. And it stepped back into the territory of what we saw too much last year, where there was like really bad first halves, even into the third quarter. Then all of a sudden, Caleb Williams would come to life and he would show why he was the guy that you drafted number one overall. But that is not sustainable in terms of being comfortable with where you are in a game. So it was. They have to recoup a little bit. And look, there's not a whole lot of excuses, man. That was definitely a Bears crowd. Maybe some noise. I guess they did use silent count throughout the whole thing as well, so not a lot of excuses with that part either. Understand what was going on with the offensive line, but that's part of it in taking a medium step backwards.
I think the Bears are on a treadmill right now. And while, as you know, the treadmill can adjust both in elevation, incline, and also in speed, they're pretty much the same team they were a week ago. I think the biggest difference is Max Crosby. He's a difference maker. He's a game wrecker. I think he put the fear of God into a lot of people who were playing offense for the Bears on Sunday, and rightfully so. Now, here's what I think. Once you take into account that they had two different players playing tackle by the end of this game because Darnell Wright was out and because Braxton Jones was relieved of his duties, I think it's understandable that things didn't look the same. I think the running game was the same, as in ineffective. And also, the pre-snap penalties went back up, which is bad, but it is a road game as opposed to being at home.
Yeah, it is.
So that's why I just think they're on a treadmill, and they may be a little further back than they were a week ago, but once you put the road environment into it and understand that Max Crosby was not playing for the Dallas Cowboys, it kind of makes sense. I'm not saying I'm great with it, but I'm understanding it.
It's a test that they didn't pass, though. They didn't pass the dominant edge rusher test. They couldn't keep Caleb Williams comfortable in the first half. And again, some of that probably will be revealed to have been on Caleb. I mean, I said it earlier that he probably did eject too much, but he was already sort of traumatized by it.
They didn't necessarily keep him comfortable, but I will say this, ultimately, they, along with his ability to scramble, kept himself upright. Just one sack in the whole game and limited quarterback hits.
I will take that. He's even more elusive this year than he was last year.
Yeah, and the design run plays were interesting because they sniffed those out in a hurry.
They did.
I hadn't seen Ben Johnson's design run plays get just destroyed like that.
I appreciated the way the Raiders were very gentle in bringing Caleb down, even when it looked like they had an open shot, but that's just the NFL we live in.
Number two.
Who made a bigger impact in the game against the Bears? Raiders running back Ashton Jeanty or pass rusher Max with two X's Crosby?
It's Ashton Jeanty. It's Ashton Jeanty because he had been held in check his previous three games. It's Ashton Jeanty because he looked like he had been dipped in Vaseline, put in the backfield, and the Bears, they could touch him if it was two-hand touch. They'd be good. If it was flag football.
We're going to dip you in Vaseline and get you out there.
The telling play, of course, was the big 64-yard run for a touchdown in which Kevin Byard had him hawked down, and then he just kind of skipped out of a would-be tackle from Kevin Byard.
Yeah.
On a day in which Kevin Byard got a game ball because he looked so good.
That was bad.
Both in two interceptions and, of course, the big stop late in the game.
He's out here laying wood, too, at however old he is.
And on that play, he laid air.
He did lay air.
And get... Like, Jeanty was bouncing off of everyone. He looked like he was operating on a slip and slide level that Bears defenders could only hope to be on. It's Ashton Jeanty. Max Crosby, understandable. He got the interception. But Jeanty, if they had a chance, they'd still be running with Jeanty right now.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really deny anything that you just said. I will say, though, that Max Crosby, as you said, you know, like, he ruined everything they were trying to do early on. He was the cause of what we ended up seeing, and that was Ozzie Trapillo. And I'm not necessarily complaining. I'm glad that Ozzie Trapillo got out there and played right tackle. And Theo Benedet got moved over to the left tackle side, which was wild. Like, they're doing desperate things now, it feels like, anyway.
Well, is it desperate, or does some of it feel a little planned?
It might. No, I think it was, and I think that I do believe Ben Johnson said something to that effect, that this was something that was on their minds, but just going to this formula was not something that we expected the Bears to do, and I've talked about it with the Bears running game. The Bears running game is desperate in what we have seen them do. We didn't see as – I don't know if DJ Moore had a carry.
He did not.
In this game.
He did not.
Yeah, he did not. So there wasn't as much of that going on in this particular game. But, yeah, there's definitely – it's such a great question. Just for the sake of the show, I will go with Max Crosby because he just ruined everything for the Bears in the first half and made it feel like a game.
Game wrecker.
Yeah.
Number three.
Third question here in Five on It with Raheemy, Harrison, Grody, Layla off today. What lessons did you learn about the NFC North from week four?
Wow, what lessons did we win?
They did not win. They tied.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm getting out my little score sheet here from the games here. Yes, for people who didn't watch last night, Green Bay has an extra one by their name now, ladies and gentlemen. Somebody's always got to go and screw things up and make the math harder. The Cowboys and Packers tied last night 40-40, obviously in overtime. 2-1-1 now are the Green Bay Packers. Minnesota lost to Pittsburgh 24-21, and the Vikings are now 2-2.
Wait, were you rooting for Minnesota to win that game the way you said, ugh?
No, it just gives you too much pleasure to see Pittsburgh doing what they're doing. So I know, and I'm heavily projecting on you now. I'm coming after you, and you're not
fine.
Even saying anything.
Yeah.
I get why you might be mad at me. Here's the thing. Minnesota, I think, as I was watching that game, are they average? Like, I don't think Minnesota is bad. For some reason, that franchise, and I'm sure Minnesota fans could tell me differently when it didn't work out this way, it seems like the bottom rarely drops out from Minnesota, but this sure feels like an average team. Detroit ran it up on Cleveland 34-10, so I think that I feel pretty comfortable in where I put Detroit at the beginning of the season, is that that's the top of the division. And then, I don't know, are we coming up? The Green Bay one confuses me because they look like the best team in the NFL through the first couple of games, and here they are tying with Dallas, which I'm sure made Jerry Jones very
happy. Did they look like the best
happy.
Team in the world last week?
No.
Okay,
no.
So now we have a better assessment of them.
Yeah. So what's real? That's the thing, man. It's so hard to figure out what's real
through
four games.
I think they're on that next tier of teams trying to prove that they belong on the tier of the Philadelphia Eagles.
You think they do, though, the Packers? Do you think they're still the class?
No. I think the Eagles are here, and I'm saying they're on the next tier down.
Green Bay.
Yes.
But it's still the best team in the division, though.
No, I think the Lions are the best team in the division.
Okay, yeah.
I think the Lions have proven the last 3 weeks.
Settle down over there, Robbie.
But they're the best team in the division. I think.
I got triggered. I thought you said the Packers were the best.
I'm really interested to see what comes out of the NFC West after we watched that game on Thursday night. Three of the four teams are 3-1. And the other team's 2-2 in the Arizona Cardinals. So I'm just really curious to see how this kind of develops over the next couple of weeks. This is a great week to have a bye because you can just kind of watch around the league and see what's really good.
I hate the bye, though.
No, we need the bye. Especially,
and don't forget that the following week after the bye, it's a Monday night game. So you'll have a whole another Sunday slate of games to watch. Bearless.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I'm good with
it. Right. And then when the Bears come out of the chute, guys, at Washington, Monday, October 13th, home against New Orleans, at Baltimore.
6-2.
At Cincinnati.
7-2.
Whoa, wow.
No, I'm just...
You'd have to draft.
Those are ideas. Those are just ideas.
I wrote that.
Those are ideas.
Penn.
Doug, nice job.
No Joe Burrow.
Penn. I did not say you could graduate to Penn. Everything must be in pencil.
Lamar.
No, you let me use a crayon.
Yeah, you could... Only if it comes from the 64 crayon box,
where you can get eight
different kinds of green.
Yellow, green, and green, yellow.
So, ultimately, what we learned about the NFC North is we have a whole lot more we need to learn about the NFC North. That's what this week's adventure taught me anyway.
Is it better or worse than you thought, the division?
The division is, it's probably...
Or what you kind of thought.
It's probably what I thought. Okay. I thought that the teams would have worse records than last year because the competition was much stiffer this year. And it's proving to kind of play out that way so far.
Competition is paying the price is what it's
bonus
doing.
Question, though.
Yeah. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Bonus. Yeah. Should we get rid of ties? Why do we have ties in the NFL?
I don't know. They do kind of suck. I really hate
Do you have a suggestion?
Well, in college football, I think college football is the best overtime out of any overtime ever.
How about a shootout?
Yeah.
How about a throwing
competition?
Just
keep the clock going. Just keep it rolling.
Injuries. Injuries is why they shortened overtime from 15 minutes to 10 minutes. I'll say this. If they went to a college style of overtime, I would not be mad at it, especially if you had to go for two every time you scored.
Mm. Okay.
Put the ball on the 40, not the 25.
Is there talk of that now after the tie last night?
No.
They basically put the ball on the 40 anyway with the new kickoff rules.
Robbie's trying to start the movement right now.
All right. Yeah. Well, you know what? Take Robbie out of the hallway. I think he needs to talk him, too. I don't know what's going on with Robbie right now.
Number four.
The NL Wild Card Series begins tomorrow between the Cubs and Padres at Wrigley Field. This very show will be live from Gallagher Way from 10 to 1:30 with special guests ahead of the series opener. Then official pregame coverage begins at 1:30 with first pitch at 2:08 on the score on the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. Is Seiya Suzuki going to be a problem for the Padres?
As I said last week, he better be. He better be a problem. This is what Seiya has done. He's taken basically the entire second half post All-Star break off. Not that he wasn't playing, but just that he wasn't producing until the last week of the regular season. He says, oh, by the way, I'm going to homer in each of the last four regular season games.
Yeah, he took vacation time too seriously. Use it or lose it, I guess. Yeah, it took all that time off.
It's crazy that his last four games, he decided to homer. Five games over his last four games. And listen, he got to 31 home runs, matching 32 home runs. And he also had 31 doubles. They need a lot more of that. They need a slug over 500 in these playoffs. That's what they need.
From him?
Yes, from him specifically. He needs to slug over 500.
I don't know anything about any of that. What I know is that this question should be about Michael Bush. Because Michael Bush is the one that is crushing the baseball right now.
But he's presumed to crush the baseball.
I'm just saying that you have a potential hero in Michael Bush brewing right now. Like, Michael Bush is like, look... It's like the donut race at the United Center. Like, you don't know who's going to end up in front. Like, it looked like it was going to be PCA early in the season. Oh, there's Seiya Suzuki taking a slight little... Oh, there comes Dansby Swanson. We're starting to talk. Oh, look at Matt Shaw. He's doing some really good things out there. Ian Happ just got hot. But who is taking the lead now in the end? It was Michael Bush all along. Michael Bush is the new PCA.
He's Cuppy Cup.
He's Biggie Bushy.
Is this the part where I point out that Seiya Suzuki is making 20 times more than Michael Bush this season? He's making $18 million.
He's on his rookie contract, right?
Michael Bush is making $785,000 or so.
That's crazy. He's going to do just fine in arbitration.
They should
though.
Extend him, right?
Who, Michael Bush?
Just get him under contract.
Yeah, because I still like so many players on the Cubs. I'm not exactly sure. What he like is Michael Bush a 40 home run guy? You know what I mean? Like, he's a 30 home run dude, but I also feel like the sky is kind of the limit for him. Like, everything, he just gets better You know?
So there's two questions here.
Yeah, two questions.
The questions are, can Michael Bush hit left-handed pitching? And there's a sub-question to that. Do the Cubs believe Michael Bush can hit left-handed pitching? Because the second one is what will get him the contract and get paid.
And I know you were championing him early in the season, wanting him to get out there and hit against lefties.
We just saw him hit a home run off a lefty the other day.
Right. So the evidence is piling up that the potential is there. But the Saya question, I don't expect it. You know what I mean? Like, you're right. He's got, and maybe it is back, because that's what happens. Players go in long slumps for whatever reason, and we all try to figure it out, and then they snap out of it, and then it's like it never happened. So I'm hoping that's the case, but if you're asking me right now, I don't see it happening, like where he's just going to crush the baseball. But Michael Bush and PCA, by the way, hey, come on. I predicted it on Friday.
You did predict
it.
That he would homer off a guy that I believe he homered off twice.
I'm so anxious to tell people when I'm right now because of all the trauma of being wrong this year.
You've been wrong a lot?
Robbie, I don't understand why you didn't put that in the open. I thought that would be the open today. I thought that me being right.
The Bears don't even exist. Just straight to the Cubs.
Yeah, I didn't write it down. Yeah, the tape's gone.
Really narcissistic. He didn't put my prediction in there, and I predicted that Tyreek Stevenson would have a turnover. I didn't make the open, so why are you making the open? You're talking about the Cubs.
Yeah, I didn't really expect to make the open. But
actually, we all made the open because we all said the Bears would win.
That's
we technically
true.
All made the open.
I wanted more from me, though. I wanted that.
Oh, he's a me guy now.
I am a me guy.
Can't spell Mark Grody without M and E.
Because you guys did like 8 opens and 6 interjections and maybe even post opens on me predicting the Cubs to win. How many times did Marky Mark have to hear that from you guys?
It was a funky prediction. That's what I'll say about that.
It was. That was.
Number 5.
Last question here in 5 on it. Raheemy Harrison Grody. Layla out. Cubs Twitter is quoted on yesterday's Final Score post saying, quote, the regular season was good to us, end quote. Was the regular season good to the Chicago Cubs?
No. No. They should have won the division. They should have dusted the Milwaukee Brewers. The Milwaukee Brewers went on an unbelievable run. So it was actually the regular season was kind of nasty to the Cubs. How could the Brewers possibly do that? Like,
because they've never done that before.
You've lost more players this year. You know what I mean? Like, more guys are gone from the Brewers and the players that just crushed the Cubs. And they did have a, 7.5 game lead in the division early on, which led some of us to make hasty predictions and proclamations. This year got tough. This regular season got agonizing, especially since it was so good for so many starting pitching and hitters. The regular season wasn't good to the Cubs. I'm thrilled they're going to the playoffs, and I give them a lot of credit, but yeah, I don't feel it for this regular season. It should have been better. They should be in a better place right now.
You ungrateful Cubs fan. Yeah.
Greed is good, my friend.
Yeah, greed. Look,
greed is good.
This ain't Wall Street. Listen.
Yes, it is.
Listen very carefully.
Wow, I got to listen very carefully.
Listen very carefully. I want you to hear what I'm saying. I want you to like poo-poo
is
what
this
I'm
about my attention span again?
Yes, it is, okay. As you stare off into space. Listen, Mark.
Wow.
The Cubs are in the playoffs. The Cubs are hosting a wild card series.
Yes.
The Cubs have not done that in a long time.
You're right.
The season was very good to them. They got their center fielder of the future locked up in PCA. They've got Michael Bush, you just talked about. There's way more positive going for the Cubs than negative. Even without Cade Horton, they have a chance to do something here in the postseason because they got here. They got their 90-plus wins, 92 to be exact. Craig Counsell has guided a team that was off-injured when you're talking about the pitching staff, whether it's rotation or bullpen. And somehow gotten this team into position to make a run at the World Series. The regular season has been very good to the Cubs from that perspective. No, they didn't win the division. Everybody can't win the division. Plenty of wild card teams have won the World Series.
Good things have happened to the Cubs during the year, but I don't think on the overall the year was good for the Cubs.
If the year was not good, I would have said, yes, the year was not good. They didn't make the playoffs. They made the playoffs. If the year was not good, I was like, yeah, they got to go play 3 games in San Diego. They get to play 3 home games at Wrigley.
Are you
starting tomorrow? You'll be out there with me.
You listen to me very carefully. Yes, we will be at Gallagher Way. Listen to me very carefully. We have to take a break now because we have to get back to talking about the Chicago Bears. Jenkins from Jenkins Elite.
I love him.
We'll be on bonus. We got him on a Monday this week.
Let's get right to it.
So we're gonna talk to Tim Jenkins, see what he thought about the Bears offense, and specifically that guy, Caleb Williams. That is coming up next on Raheemy Harrison Grody. Layla has the day off today on The Score.
TTN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this, this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Tim Jenkins.
I've got people real mad at me in Chicago that how dare you? There's a radio guy up there, Mike North. He was real mad.
Founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite.
I'm Tim Jenkins, and welcome to All Things QB, where I watch every single clip and break down the most important ones today.
Breaking down the positives and negatives.
You've seen progressions that align with the quarterback's eye. I hope that's what we get more of, but I hope we continue to see some of these concepts and the way we build things are better for the quarterback versus just looks good on paper.
Tim Jenkins with Raheemi Harrison Grody on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Let's jump into the film.
We always love our time with Tim Jenkins, indeed the founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite. He will break down the performance of Caleb Williams, who was 22 of 37, 212 yards, a TD and a pick, in the Bears' 25-24 win over the Raiders, starring Josh Blackwell and his block kick at the end of the game. And so joining us now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline is Tim Jenkins. Download the Circa app today. Tim, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing great.
What did
walk-off field goal block? We got to be feeling a little optimistic.
I mean, that would not have happened last year for the Chicago Bears. And as a matter of fact, it was the exact opposite for Chicago Bears last year at Soldier Field when Green Bay broke everybody's hearts at Soldier in blocking a kick. So, yeah, man, we are talking about a win. A little bit of a complicated win because, as I said early on, you know, it's kind of like the Lou Brown from Major League. You know, nice catch, Hayes. Don't ever bleep and do it again because of the way the Bears got to this victory yesterday. What did you think, sir, about Caleb Williams' play in this game?
I think it was it left you wanting more, right? Realistically, yeah. When I looked at the tape. What I'll say is that to me it was like watching it live. You sat there and it felt like we just continuously got chances, right? The defense makes a couple of big plays. You're getting all these short fields. And then you look up and it's like, we've got three turnovers and 3 points, I think, at one point in the game, which I would say is extremely frustrating, right? When you're sitting there looking at it. What I will say is exactly what you hinted at, which is, it is really nice to feel like all of a sudden we've got a Bears team and a football team that wins those sloppy games. Mm. I made a joke this morning on Twitter. My son's 8-year-old team won on a last play Hail Mary. Nice. So I said, hey, Bears fans, do you want me to include the Hail Mary in the breakdown today? And a couple of Bears fans reminded me, they're like, please no more Hail Marys after last year.
There is trauma. Yeah.
So to me, I'm sitting there and I'm kind of laughing because it is almost a full circle moment that we've found so many ways to lose with past staffs. It was actually pleasantly surprising to see a team that felt gritty, felt competitive, felt like you're never out of it. That was nice. What I'll tell you is Caleb's performance, when you look at it on the tape, there's a lot where you go, man, we've got a shot downfield, similar to when we were in week one, where it felt like give it a click longer downfield. I think we had protection issues left and right, all over the place. And then I also think we had a couple where it's hard for me. I don't want to take a shot at Ben because I'm still kind of trying to feel him out as a play caller as I watch him. But what I will say is it felt like we kind of got cautious at times. Some of those sudden changes, we get the ball at the high red area and it's like, hey, we're running dive right up the middle. To me, those are times where it's, I'd love to see him dial up one of those creative shot plays.
Okay, so I'm glad you brought up the creative shot plays. I'm curious as to what you thought of the return of Stumble Bum and also the reverse
flea flicker.
Yeah, the fake flea flicker. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, the almost falling over one cracked me up pretty good. That one's going to be in the breakdown. You know, like, it's funny because those are the ones that the fake flea flicker, you know, it worked. And then all of a sudden we got a, you know, face mask, right? Those are the ones that are funny because if it works, we're sitting here on Monday and Tuesday talking about, oh, what a diabolical scheme, right? And then they don't work and you go, what a waste of a play. Yeah, I don't, I do like that he's not afraid to dial it up. There are times where I think maybe I would prefer more. You guys remember the one that Komet's wide open? Play action. Those are the kind of shot plays that I more prefer, and I'll tell you why, is because it's a shot. The entire National Football League runs this play where it's hard play action. After the running back fakes, he gets to the flat route. The number one receiver runs what we call an ultra high, which is, hey, get through 12 to 18 and then aim at the front pylon. So it's a super high corner route. And then that number two receiver runs a sail route. Everyone runs it. It's kind of a flood off of play action. The Bears showed it, but instead of running the sail route, Komet runs what we would call a cop, right? A corner stop. So it's a cop route. And then what do you do if you see a cop, right? You stop, you tap the brake. So it's kind of perfect. So you got a corner stop from Komet. And then he's wide open because everyone thinks the sail's coming or the traditional corner route's coming. So those are maybe the shot plays I prefer to see, because it's like, man, I see exactly, we drew this up based on not only what we've run, but what the entire National Football League runs. So these guys are so programmed to get to certain spots after they see the hard play action. Those are the ones I more prefer to see. But yeah, it was funny to see those two get dialed up. And then at the end of the day, we didn't hit the fake fall, and then we also get the face mask on the fake flea flicker. So Ben might put those in the back pocket for a couple more weeks.
Yeah, no doubt. How do you think Caleb handled the pressure in the first half with obviously a different look at offensive line?
I can't tell you. So the third down blitz throw that he had in the red area, I thought was great.
For the touchdown?
And then he followed it up with Max Crosby making a great play. So that one, of course, I think that drive would have converted if Crosby doesn't make a big play. I also don't love where I think he was trying to go with the football on that specific play. I thought he handled it well there. I thought the sit route, I wasn't overly impressed. But what I will tell you, the most optimistic thing that I can say coming out of this is We had a very early levels concept. Levels is the number. So when I say number one receiver, number two receiver, for the listeners, think the number one receiver is the guy closest to the sideline. So the guy closest to the sideline, that's when you hear somebody say number one receiver. Because if I say X or Z or whatever, some people have different terminology. So when you're just talking broadly, number one receiver is the farthest guy out. Number two is the guy, you know, next in. If they're in trips, then you'd say number three. But they were just in a 2x2. So the number one receiver outside, he's got a little 5 yard under. The number two receiver in the slot, he's got a 12 yard basic. So basically one runs the 12 and on he's on the in. The other guy runs a 5 yard in. And Caleb missed it. He just flat out missed it. He had his eyes in the right spot, missed it. That was clip one on what's the break, you know, the breakdown coming out today. Clip number 19 is the exact same call in a huge moment to convert on the game-winning drive, and Caleb hits it. So if there's one thing I could tell you that signs off on the whole day for me for Caleb Williams is we went from, hey, we missed one of the easier reads in football to all of a sudden we hit it in the biggest moment. So to me, it wasn't one of those days that I was overly thrilled with the offense, but I'm walking away from it saying we finally have a gritty, competitive team who wants to take some of these teams on and can win a game down the wire.
Tim Jenkins, the founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite, joining us here on Raheemy, Harris, and Grody. Tim, I'm looking at this run game or lack thereof, and I'm wondering what do you see with the offensive line, specifically having a couple of newer tackles on the edges heading into that second half?
Yeah, I think you're dead on. I mean, I think, you know, that you switch it up in the second half. I think you're dead on that the run game got substantially better with that, right? You also, it's hard sometimes when you look in the second half because you go, hey, are our O-line moving them better? Are we finally wearing them down a little, right? You always have that mixed emotion where you sit there and you go, man, what am I getting? What I'll tell you is I thought the run calls actually changed in the second half. And I don't know if that was a personnel thing or if it was, you know, Ben was trying to get back to maybe some of the basics based on training camp install when you get a new lineup in. But I thought it was better in the second half. And then I just think overall, yeah, I hate going back and continuing to say this, but I do think overall we finally saw a Bears team that we can say we had a bunch of dudes who instead of felt like, hey, we're kind of folding it in for Cabo, right? And again, it's still early in the season, but it felt like we finally had a team that kind of looked at each other and goes, no, we're going to pull this thing out. And then you get the game-winning drive, and then you get the block kick, and you know, you finish with a kneel down. So I think the O-line looked great on that final clip. You know, the kneel down, they didn't let anybody in. So that felt great. But everything
wow.
else, I mean, there's a lot to improve.
There is.
Especially up front. But I will tell you that it was good to see them battle in the second half with that new lineup.
Yeah, it was a rough win. I mean, there's no other way to put it. There was a lot of things that went badly for the Bears in this game, although they end up getting the victory. One thing that I've talked about a couple times, Tim, and that is the fact that Caleb had at least three balls batted down in this game, including on back-to-back plays in the first quarter. And I know some of that is the presence of Max Crosby. But I think in every single game this year, he has had a ball batted down. How can he better elude that?
Yeah, it's twofold to me. I've always thought batted balls, it's on the quarterback in the line, right? So one, his arm angle. He does drop his arm angle at times when he tries to fit stuff in. For me, it's always hard as a coach. You don't want to technically like really address that in season because it's like you want him to be able to make those low arm angle throws in the screen game and some of those shallow crosses. Simultaneously, the O-line coach right now has got to be losing his mind because those guys, when those guys jump, they have to punch and finish those guys. You got to think about it. As a lineman, you're always coached. The D-line leaves their feet. They're supposed to punch that guy and finish him, right? Someone is off the ground in front of you. They should be on the ground. That's the thing about the Max Crosby one is Max Crosby leaves his feet. So the batted ball may happen, but we need to punish Max for jumping. Instead, we don't punish him. And guess what? He goes and makes the pick after his own tip. So one, that's a great football player.
Yeah. Yes.
But also it is one of those where this O-line needs to finish these guys. If they leave their feet, that will help. I also wouldn't be surprised if you start seeing a couple of, you know, hey, backs coming through and cutting some people off the edge. I wouldn't be surprised if you start to see a couple of cuts. And then I think you can solve that by putting that on tape because at the end of the day, all these guys watch tape and nobody wants to leave their feet and get punished from, you know, 18 inches off the ground and nobody wants to get their legs cut anymore in the NFL. So I do think you could put a couple things on tape and fix all that.
Okay, they've got a bye now I'm wondering if there's something you can see that can be improved between now and Monday Night Football against the Commanders.
Yeah, I love that. I'm fired up for the Monday night game too. Mm-hmm. It's always good in the Jenkins house. You know, I get the young boys watching and they peril with dad. They don't know why dad's so sad. Dad's sad because I got to come on here and talk about it with you guys, but also because you guys know me, I bet my YouTube earnings every week on the Bears money line. So that's also why dad's been going through it. But what I will say is the one area for improvement for me is the shot game. I think we are so close on a lot of these shot plays. Caleb needs to give it one click longer, and then ultimately I think we need to integrate more of them. We generate too many big plays when we call them, whether it's Caleb Williams scrambling off of it or us driving the ball down the field. We just straight up have to hit more of those. We got to call more of them. That's the one area that I could see this offense improve in the bye week.
Tim, thank you very much. Great stuff as always, and appreciate looking forward to talking to you after that Washington game, man.
Thanks so much, Tim.
Appreciate you, fellas. Have a great day.
Thank you. That is Tim Jenkins, founder and CEO of Jenkins Elite. Always bringing the heat, man.
He's looked at the All 22. I got to say, I'm in a much better place now that he explained all of that to us.
Yeah.
Because it seems like what I thought, but the confirmation of it's not as bad as we thought it was yesterday as far as the Caleb Williams portion of this.
Right, right. And he was real about some of the things that did not go as well. But I particularly liked talking about him repeating the play. And then when it really mattered, that play, it works.
In-game progress, if you will.
In-game progress. That I could not put it better than that. When we come back, I would describe the halftime interview that we saw on CBS yesterday with Ben Johnson as, at the very least, awkward, would you say?
Frenetic is what I would go
Frenetic,
with.
Frenetic, a little off-putting, maybe?
It seems like they...
yeah.
Almost like Caleb Williams in the pocket in the first half.
Oh, man, that's good.
You don't know what's happening next.
It's a jolt. All the sugar and twice the caffeine is what that moment... It was a jolt moment. So we will discuss that when we return on Raheemy, Harris, and Grody.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app, and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Score.
Raheemy, Harris, and Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
And we're excited about this second half. We got some things up our sleeve. So,
did we see what was up your sleeve? Did you use it? Or
I don't know. What's up yours?
The Flus might do us well for decades. Bad things happened under Matt Eberflus, but he left us with some gems. There's no doubt about it. Welcome back.
He had a rough night last night.
Yeah, 40.
Now he's had a rough season so far.
They're coming after him, man.
Yeah. Lost Micah Parsons, and then he's lost a bunch of games.
It's just, yeah.
Meaning what?
And I am not one of those who's interested in piling on Flus, but he left us with some fun, and I hope we can remember the fun of Flus and the Flusisms. No, you're probably right. Welcome back into the Raheemy Harris and Grody Show. On the Score, Layla is off today. Tomorrow, we will be broadcasting live from Gallagher Way, starting at 10 a.m., getting ready for the Cubs and Padres.
I'm hyped.
Can't wait. And we'll let you know at some point in time. The Cubs are practicing, Cubs and Padres. Wrigley Field will be alive today with practices, and hopefully we'll hear from Craig Counsell a little bit later on who will get the ball in game one. Maybe we'll find out. You know, those rosters will start to come out, and we'll all pick it apart, part of everything that is coming up. But back to the Chicago Bears, and things worked out well in the end, but it was a trying first half for the Chicago Bears, who were trailing the Raiders by 5 at halftime. It was 14-9 Raiders. The Bears had 90 total yards in the first half, just 2 rushing yards, as I know you pointed out.
It's awful. It is unacceptable.
It got worse. Yeah, the running game got worse. 3 penalties for 21 yards. And I'd point out, too, that the Bears did force a couple of turnovers, which was also bad because the Bears didn't really capitalize or didn't capitalize enough with all the good field position they had. So all of this led to, as I said, a very unique sounding, I suppose, very awkward sounding halftime interview on CBS between Ben Johnson and Aditi Kinkabwala. Again, this is on CBS 2.
A couple of seconds ago, Aditi with the aforementioned Ben Johnson.
Your offense has struggled to take advantage of those takeaways.
Yep.
Okay, so what did you tell them to get things going?
That it wasn't our brand of football. We're capable of a lot more, and so we're hitting the reset button here at halftime, and we're going to come back and establish our identity here in the second half.
So you need to change what you're doing.
I don't know. You think so? We're going to be just fine.
Thanks, Mom.
All right, Ben Johnson, all business. The little intimidation,
how do you really feel?
Menacing stare. Aditi asking those hard questions.
Yeah. Well, I got, you know, after listening to it again, and yeah, the look that he was giving definitely comes into play for sure. And Marshall is doing it right now if you're watching on Twitch. But like that move is kind of, Ben Johnson has given us stuff like that as well, where he's trying to be funny and trying to be sarcastic.
I don't think he was trying to be funny.
It didn't come across that way yesterday in the interview.
In no
he
way.
Did the sarcastic, oh, you think so? Yeah. I know you are, but what am I?
Yeah, I don't think he was trying to be funny, though. I think he was just annoyed and perturbed.
I don't know. You think so?
Yeah.
We're going to be just fine.
We're going to be just fine. Just like I was telling you in the break, Grody, everything's going to be okay. We're going to be just fine.
It'll be all right.
I didn't say in that tone, but you get the idea.
It's very 90s. You think? Remember, you think? Like from 90s sitcoms?
I can't remember the 90s.
You think? That's what Ben Johnson did, a you think joke?
The 90s were a long time ago, Grody. I'm be honest with you. It's 2025. That was a quarter century ago.
Yeah, I know. But I do think that that's when you think, laugh much, like all those kind of jokes came out. Maybe you missed it all. I don't know. What were you doing in the 90s, for crying out loud,
working.
Marshall? Oh, you were working already? How old are you, man?
Yeah, I was working the whole decade.
Man, oh, man. This guy. But so you thought it was uncomfortable? And did you think it was uncalled for? Did you think it was mean-spirited? Do you think that he mistreated the sideline reporter?
I don't think it was mean-spirited because I don't think in nature that it was malicious.
Right, I agree.
But there was a lack of self-awareness as a head football coach doing these halftime interviews.
And yeah, but you know,
all media appearances, you have to know what's coming and know how to handle it.
Yeah, but guess what? Every once in a while, the coach is allowed to say what he feels like. I feel like I was a sideline reporter for 3 years, so I get all the rigors that go into being a sideline reporter and the immediate interviews and all that kind of stuff. But I think that we've grown so used to just hearing the rote, scripted, you know what you're going to get from the halftime report, and you know what the coach is going to say, and anything that goes out of the lines a little bit sounds extraordinary, quite frankly, because it is, there's so few times where it doesn't sound completely generic and almost canned.
Well, but here's my issue with it. He interrupted before she could even get the question out.
I don't know. You think so? We're going to be just fine.
Play the whole thing again, Robbie. Go ahead and play that whole thing again. All right, stand by.
It's going to take a minute.
I will say that I thought maybe, this is one of the thoughts I had watching that yesterday, maybe it's just really loud, and there was that created a little awkward moment, you know?
I think it's part of it. Let's hit it again.
A couple of seconds ago, Aditi with the aforementioned Ben Johnson.
Your offense has struggled to take advantage of those takeaways.
Yeah.
Okay, so what did you tell them to get things going?
That it wasn't our brand of football. We're capable of a lot more, and so we're hitting the reset button here at halftime, and we're going to come back and establish our identity here in the second half.
So you need to change what you're doing.
I don't know. You think so? We're going to be just fine.
Thanks, Mom.
So I think he doesn't let her ask the initial question. He just jumps in and says, yeah, you're right.
I'm
trying to get this over with.
You think?
But I think her follow-up question, I don't know if she was startled by that or not.
Yeah.
But I think her follow-up question is where she may have missed the mark, and he's just like,
right. And it has to be, it's got to be shocking for any sideline reporter, especially on television, to get any answer that you're not expecting to get, because it just doesn't happen anymore.
And it wasn't really a question. It was a statement.
Yeah.
So you got to change what you're doing.
Right. So let's hear, actually, that perfectly enough, I'm told, Molly and Haw had the sideline reporter, Aditi Kinkabwala, on The Score this morning to talk about that moment.
It's not the most ideal position to be put in, regardless. But, you know, I've talked to Bill Belichick at halftime, so I'd like to think after all these decades of doing this job, I'm not going to be intimidated. I wish I'd been a little bit more specific on that follow up. Instead of saying you need to change something, what I was trying to get at is it just simply about being cleaner, or is it that you need to make some very specific adjustment, or is there something, you know, for me it was the run game, but I don't want to put any words in somebody's mouth. I could have been more artful, but you know what I'm thinking about today? I'm thinking about Geno Smith saying to me on Friday how his offensive line was so beleaguered. And he said, you know what? I'd like some of those people to stand up and try to block Deron Payne. So
right.
Sometimes there's a lot of chaos. There's a lot of craziness. And it's funny. I was talking to your friend and mine, Bobby V, earlier, and he said, you probably didn't expect him to respond that way. I didn't, because you know what? He was so great in our production meeting. Caleb Williams walks into the room and he starts teasing Caleb Williams about calling more quarterback runs to get the run game going. And I jokingly asked him if Caleb had brought him a free hot dog. And then Ben starts teasing Caleb about not getting a hot dog. So obviously those moments are, we're all competitive people. It was a tight, tight game. Things weren't going great in that first half. Things happen. They happen.
Well, she should have gotten the full background of Ben John. Maybe I got to send her the Dan Weider article about this man whose competition level draws him to wanting to embarrass the competition. You know, he's been pretty clear about that.
She caught him in that production meeting a couple of days prior. Very different than when you catch him in the heat of the moment.
Right.
And she got burned a little bit by that fire from that moment.
She did get burned by it, but it is the and look, we've all been backed up before, like in when we're doing interviews.
Sideline reporter for over 10 years.
Yeah, and I'm not just talking about sideline reporter. Sometimes we just don't have the perfect follow up, or we're not expecting. We all get taken sometimes, but that's an example too of how boring these interviews typically are. And again, I am one who has performed the job and enjoyed doing the job.
Yeah, Liam Neeson wasn't there to save her when she got taken.
that is very true. When we come back, we are told that not only will Anthony Heron be our guest for the next two segments, but I haven't seen him, but he does like to come in at the last second. We all know that about Anthony Heron. He is going to be in studio with us for two segments to break down the Bears' 25-24 win over the Raiders. It is coming up next on Rahimi, Harris, and Grody on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim and you get motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.